Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Wax Quizzical. This is the podcast that has all of the questions, but history's proven very few of the answers. We'll see if we can change that today with one of the smartest comedians in the business.
Who told you this?
Hello to contestant Luca Muller.
You've been lied to. Hello. I'm here and we'll find out about my intelligence, I guess.
Did you do well in school?
Were you ducks? I got an ATAR of 69, which is why I got into comedy.
Is that right? If you get a funny ATAR, you have to make jokes for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's fate.
What did you want to do with an ATAR?
I actually wanted to become an acupuncturist briefly. That was the only really career I thought about doing other than comedy.
What is it about sticking needles in people that attracted you so?
No, because I used to get it a lot when I was a teenager, and I just found it so relaxing. And I was like, if I could do that for someone else,
paid for or just bullying at school?
just private sessions. Yeah.
Did you go okay in exams in school, like in tests? Were you all right with like quizzing situations?
Yeah, I was pretty good. If you're asking if I'm going to have a panic attack in this podcast, the answer is my question. Probably not.
Okay. Well, the great thing in comparison to schools is that we have a brains trust here. You weren't allowed that in exams.
Thank God.
I guess a graphics calculator is something of a brains trust. And the equivalent of your graphics calculator today, we shall meet. First of all, this is exciting because it's not often we have inventors on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Our first guest invented punching in the 1930s. Wow. Hello to Grelga Schwartz.
Hello. I'm so sorry, everyone, for the horror I've wrought on this world. It is my greatest achievement and the greatest horror.
Inventing punching.
What have I done?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's caused a lot of pain, hasn't it?
Before this, people just open palms slapped each other.
Is that so?
To death in war.
Before the 1930s. So boxing, which I think goes back before the 1930s, just used to be a slap fest.
It was just slapping. They used to call them slappy boys. Because, of course, women couldn't slappy boy. It was really, as humanity expanded, we had to find another weapon. And that's when I realized once one closed the fist, one had power beyond the dreams that a slap ever had.
It's inspired, really, isn't it? Just to shut the fist.
Can't see it. It's not a visual medium, but he just closed his fist.
Be careful. I know. Well, they're weapons, these two. Lots of inventors work on many projects, and it's only a few of them that get up. That become internationally famous.
Absolutely.
Is punching the only invention that you were working on at the time, or were there a number of sort of projects that you had going?
No, I had a number of side projects. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Uber?
Yeah, the car share service.
Yes, yep. I was one of the original designers of that.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like kicking or something, but no, Uber.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, sorry, you're great.
Oh, why have I bought punching and Uber together? I'm so sorry. Yes. I'm so sorry. This is how Marie Curie must have felt.
I imagine. And have you made more money from Uber or punching?
Oh, no. No, no. We inventors don't care for money.
All right.
No, I simply wanted to expand humanity's horizons and create a more humane way of resolving our problems than slapping. But what have I done?
Yeah.
What have I done, Kyron?
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see if any boxing questions come up in the quiz a little bit later on. But the Brains Trust doesn't stop there. It's also a big hello to 15-year-old witch, Thea Barley.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
We've had one witch on before, but they were a little bit older. Normally, witches are in their sort of 80s, 90s in popular culture, aren't they?
Well, I think that's really a common misconception. Actually, if you look deep into young adult sort of mediums and where the kind of cool kids are, you'll see a lot of... Because witches have to be trained. You know, you aren't just born, you don't just know, you have to learn.
Is that right?
And that's what I do at Puddle Ditch Public Witching School.
So you go to Puddle Ditch. I hadn't heard of Puddle Ditch Public. There are lots of very popular wizard schools, aren't there?
Yes,
that we
so
know of.
A lot of what you're seeing in popular culture is private, witching, wizarding, magic academies, and they have a lot of obviously government funding, a lot of philanthropy. Whereas at Puddle Ditch, it's just public. So it's sort of like what you might have seen on television or in a film, but then a bit shit.
Okay.
So.
Did you go to a public school, Luca?
I went to a private school, but it was very, very small. It was brand new when I went there, so it didn't feel like there was no fancy uniforms or anything.
Uh-huh.
And when I started, there was only like 20 people, 23 people or something.
Yeah.
So it was technically private, but it didn't feel like the big to-do.
I mean, 23 sounds quite private to me.
Yeah. How many kids are in a class at Puddle Ditch Public?
It would depend on the day and whether or not the classroom is on fire. But generally between 50 and to say 4,000, depending on, you know, sort of space spells that have been cast to enlarge a room or make it smaller.
Shall we do a quiz? Let's launch in, see how we go. This is taken from the Saturday Paper Summer Quiz. We're doing a section of that today. Question number one, in which Olympic Games did the women's marathon make its debut? Are you into sport, Luca?
I'm into sport, absolutely.
What sports do you like? Women's marathon.
My favourite sport.
Follow it closely.
Yeah, I got KO just for it. Yep. I wake up 6 a.m. every morning and watch those ladies
One
run.
Of the options you can pick, AFL, tennis, women's marathon.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the big three, you know?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know, all sorts of sports.
Marathon has a long history. One of the oldest sports.
Absolutely. It's actually Greek for foot punching. That's what you're doing when you... It's actually where I first realised that we have been evolved to punch all along.
And so you were inspired from foot punching,
or
marathon as we call it these days.
Yes.
And seeing
to make hand foot punching, yes.
Yes.
But you applied it not to travelling distance, to inflicting pain.
Yes, absolutely. Well... I mean, you could ask a Greek marathon cause how much pain they're in after the women's marathon, and they would say, owie, owie, but in Greek.
Did you intend initially for hand punching to be a form of travel? Was that your plan?
It wasn't initially...
sort of like foot punching.
Yes.
No, it actually came from an argument I was having with my colleague, Michelle, where I realised I just wanted to just foot punch all over her.
Yeah.
And then I thought, why foot punch when I can hand foot punch?
What about you, Thea? Do you know in which Olympic Games the women's marathon made its debut?
Well, my personal favourite Olympic Games has, of course, always been the 1992 Barcelona Olympic Games, because it truly has the greatest theme song in Amigos Para Siempre.
Oh, yes, I will never punch you in Spanish.
Yes, that's right. But I think maybe marathons were from before that. We don't really have sport at my school. Sometimes someone will pull the fire alarm. We all run outside.
Because at private schools, did you have like inter-school competitions?
Yeah, absolutely.
With other private schools?
We got destroyed. We were too small. We were a minnow in the system.
Well, there's only 23 people in the class.
Yeah.
barely enough for one women's marathon team.
Yeah, which is traditionally as similar to classrooms at my school, between 50 and 4,000 women on a marathon team.
And on a marathon team, do you share parts of the marathon and therefore run like a couple metres?
I believe so. I think marathon, as well as meaning foot punching from the Roman route, actually means many feet.
Yes.
So you can have up to 4,000 people even running in one marathon, just taking a single step each.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's a sport I would be well equipped for myself.
Well, the closest we've got so far is the 1992 Barcelona Olympics because of a theme song which translates to...
I will never punch you.
I will never punch you.
I will never punch you, my friends.
My friend. Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Friends for life, friends for not life. Just a summer or a spring.
Yeah. We will never punch one another.
At the very least, we know that it falls on years multiple of four. So we've at least ruled out... three quarters of the years.
Yeah.
But would you like to have a stab at a year?
Oh, who could say? There's so many years and so many that are divisible by four. And one of the things my brain's great at is counting back very quickly. And also
wow.
trying to imagine like the socio-political elements. And like, when would something like that have been, you know?
What about 1956?
Melbourne. The Melbourne Olympics.
I just mm-hmm. know there was one and I know where it was. And that's more information than I've had previous.
A Melbourne Marathon.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, there was.
I just can't imagine women being allowed to do that many things yeah. before
yes.
that.
Yes. I'll actually come in here because I do know a little bit about this. Australian women were the first women allowed to foot punch for a crowd because of our strong calves.
Yeah. That's what got you in the end.
Absolutely.
It wasn't a push for equality.
No.
No. It was just, it won't be boring because look at the shapely calves.
So
it was actually quite a sexist reason for inclusion.
Very yeah. deeply sexist. Even though a woman invented punching,
yeah.
the roots are so sexist. A lot of internalized misogyny, as all women have.
And externalized
and
once
externalized.
The punching began.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, Luca, what answer would you like to punch in? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
I'll go one early. Let's say 52.
1952. Where were they?
Who could say? I don't think they keep a record of that sort of thing.
Question number two. 0 degrees Celsius is equal to what temperature in Fahrenheit? Do you use in the Wizarding World, Thea, the same measurements that we do here on
sadly,
Earth, I want to say, or here amongst normal humans?
No, sadly, the Wizarding measurement for temperature is Gwelts.
Gwelts.
Yes.
Sounds more like an illness, more like a sort of growth.
Well, that's where it comes from, because originally there was a terrible disease, a sort of influenza among the magic folk in the 1800s, which was called Gwelt. And when you had it, you could have quite high fever, but you could also be very cold.
Yeah.
And people started to measure your illness in Gwelt. And then we just started using that for temperature because they're quite a lazy people, as it turns out.
Yeah. Like, for example, having not come up with a word for temperature before the 1800s.
But I do know that... 350 degrees Fahrenheit is equal to 180 Gwelts,
mm-hmm.
if that's any
I don't think it is,
all.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, Gwelga Schwartz, what were we using in the 1930s here in Australia? Were we on Fahrenheit or Celsius?
I actually believe we were on the old system inherited from the UK, so it was still pennies and pounds.
Yeah, so that we were measuring temperature in.
Yes. Yes. Very yep. capitalist society.
Yeah.
So I believe it was about 30 pence was 0 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
Luca, correct me if I'm wrong. You went to a private school.
I think it's like minus 40 or something like that.
Minus 40?
I'm trying to imagine my main frame of reference for this is in How to Make Gravy when Paul Kelly says, they say it's going to be 100 degrees, even more maybe.
Yeah.
And I know that's like 40, 45. So yeah. I'm like...
Is he not being... I always thought he was just being hyperbolic.
No, yeah. no.
No, I think he's talking in the old, not as old as pennies and the other ones, but...
Leaning more towards negative 40 than 30 pence.
Yes, yeah, lock okay. it in.
All right. <Let's put.
laughs> If those are my two options.
They are at the moment, yeah.
Someone's a fancy boy.
Question number three. Which British singer-songwriter and activist sang "The Revolution is Just a T-Shirt Away"? Do you like do you like T-shirts, Luca?
Do I like
King
t-shirts?
Of the Segway.
Yeah, big t-shirt fan. I reckon I've got at least...
You're wearing one now?
Yeah, wearing one right now.
What do you got? Green tea?
Green tea, plain green tea. Anything?
No.
Have a look.
No insignia?
No. I'm not a billboard for someone else's ideas, Karen. I'm my own man.
Do you have to wear a uniform at Puddle Ditch Public?
No, we're allowed to wear whatever we want, but there are a lot of strict rules about, you know, your robes must be the length of your arms and things like that.
Okay.
So if someone has very short arms, which are terrible for punching, by the way.
Yep. Very short robes.
You
yeah,
have sort of a midriff robe.
Yeah,
well, you have very modest top arm length, so... I can yes. imagine, you know, that's
I'm
fine.
Sorry, are you trying to slut-shame me right now? Is that what's happening? Haven't you done enough?
What have I done? I'm so sorry, it's my internalised and externalised misogyny. Oh, I apologise, Thea Bailey.
Did you say it's a British singer?
It's a British singer-songwriter and activist. And
well, there's activist. Only one British singer-songwriter.
Oh, who's that?
Elton John.
Elton John.
The only one. So yep. It's obviously Elton John. Is there other ones?
I didn't know. So Elton's written all of the British songs.
Yeah.
It's sort of Paul Kelly's written all the Australian ones.
Yeah.
Everyone has a singer-songwriter. They take care of the country's output.
Absolutely. They're the president of songwriting yeah. in that particular country. So would we say it's Elton John, Luca?
Yeah. Yep. we learnt that in private school
Do
as well.
Do we think Elton John is an activist?
That's true. It has to be a singer-songwriter and activist.
Right. Mm. Well,
I guess he has done a lot of work in the AIDS community.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What does the shirt say again?
The revolution is just a t-shirt away. And that strikes me as strange for Elton John to have said.
I just don't think he would wear a t-shirt. Perhaps yeah. if it was on a bolero, I would think, yes, yeah, Elton John.
The revolution is just a bolero away.
Yes, of course. Or, you know, a shoulder boa. Pad or a boa.
That's
exactly.
actually another line in Amigos yeah. para siempre is yeah. in Spanish.
Just yeah. a Donald Duck costume away.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, perhaps it's not Elton John. But
does
I
it feel like something John Lennon might have said? Did he write songs?
Yes, because Elton John is obviously the singer-songwriter for all of Britain, but he has many subcontractors who submit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. How the system
oh,
works.
Oh, that's who John Lennon is. Yeah. Okay.
He's like sort of like Santa. He's got a lot of helpers.
Yeah, like ghostwriters, but also yep. like elves.
Yeah, you can't make it to every gig.
You
can't
be
everywhere
at once. You've
got to send out some deputies that's like
right.
John
what
Lennon.
What do the elves do in your world? Do they write songs?
Oh, no, indentured slavery.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, God, that's
nice.
That is so horrible.
Yeah, we try our best. That's why there are many magical activists. But, you know, yeah. like, as I said, again, quite lazy people. So it's mostly just petitions.
Okay.
Mm. Online well, petitions?
Yes.
Online
well,
petitions.
We don't. Our internet isn't very good.
Bit slow.
Just sort of apparition petitions. That's more. Someone appears and says, ooh, do you support freeing elves? And then you just say yes or no and sign your name right. on their ghost parchment. And then they, ooh, they disappear. It's not old mate Band-Aid.
Oh, Sting?
No.
No.
Bob. Boomtown
Sorry,
Rats.
If you have a Sting, you use a Band-Aid, yes. is yeah. what I meant.
Bob Geldof.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's John Lennon. Okay, am I allowed to?
Yeah, you're allowed to.
Am I allowed to
it's your quiz.
Thing.
You're allowed to wind this up if you want, yeah.
Wow. Goes to private school once, gets an 8R of 69, and all of a sudden...
Do you want to put in John Lennon?
Yeah, absolutely.
John Lennon. Question number 4. How many points is a try worth in rugby union? Who do we think we should ask a question about rugby union of? Is it the private school boy?
He's got you. Well, he got you.
As
yeah,
a private
league,
school boy.
Rugby league would be more of a Puddle Ditch Public thing, the league, whereas union much more of a private school.
I think it's 6, right?
Don't pretend you don't know.
I know that at so private rad. School you get rewarded all the time, even for trying, but 6 yeah. points just for having a try seems like a lot of points.
So you said you... Did a little bit of sport. What was the sport? That
I
you
did
played?
Sport. I've played most sports except rugby league and rugby union, the two that I've never really gotten into at all, which helps me not at all on this podcast. But
why don't you like rugby union? Why
is it because like your yeah. neck is too thin?
Yeah, it's because I'm a thin neck. Thank you, by the way. I that means so. The world to okay. me.
I don't want not your value. I don't want to objectify you, but I couldn't help but notice.
I think it's 6.
6 it is. Question number 5. What is Pantone's 2020 Color of the Year?
Oh, come on.
I love that they have a Color of the Year in the same way that Time has a Person of the Year, because it matters as much. It's multiple choice, though, so you don't have to pick a random color out of nowhere.
God.
The multiple choices are A, cashmere blue, baby blue, that's B, obviously, for all the Bs, classic blue is C, or D, deep blue.
So no one else really got a look in, did they? It's all
no.
I think blue.
So we know it's a blue. Obviously, it was a down year for some people.
Who?
Yeah, the globe. Cashmere, baby, classic, or deep.
I'm gonna say baby blue because it's sort of the color that's on the masks. Those the medical masks, like the disposable ones that you can get. That's I'd say close to a baby blue, and it's been a big year for that color.
So you're looking for like the reasons why they might have picked that.
Yeah.
As sort of your way of choosing.
Yeah, because I was thinking it could be that or like an orange, like PPE type color or, I don't know, clear for hand sanitizer.
What would have been the color of the year in the 19... Like a sepia, maybe.
In the 30s. Everything was sepia, so it wasn't really a color then. It was just like...
Oh, so that wasn't like... It wasn't because of film.
No, no. It was actually how things were. Everything was sepia. And so Pantone's color of the year was just called color.
Because we'd moved, because we used to have black and white.
Yes.
And then we had color, which is sepia.
Absolutely.
And now I guess we're in technicolor.
Technicolor. Oh. Living color.
Yes.
Living
technically
color.
Technically
speaking. Yes. Oh, it's been quite an assault on the senses, just like punching is an assault on a person. Thea Bali, what's your favorite color?
Wait, is your Thea first name Thea, second name Bali, or is it Thea Bali?
I've never asked.
Asked whom?
I didn't really know my parents, my birth parents.
Sad.
I'm adopted. So I think my birth mother must have been a witch because I have two dads and they're not magical men at all, Greg and Stephen.
Yeah. And their surnames aren't Barley.
Are they just a couple gays who love a holiday?
See, I went straight to the grain. I was like, oh, they love grains, ancient grains.
What our family loves is the 40-hour famine, where you can eat as many barley sugars as you want for 40 hours.
It's
not really a famine
that.
So much as it is a barley feast.
But the 40-hour barley feast sounds terrible.
It does. That's why we call it the 40-hour famine.
Right.
So people think, oh, you know, you're helping impoverished and starving children.
So you do the 40-hour famine at Puddle Ditch Lane.
Yes. We've adopted many non-magical things, mostly because of budget cuts. We've just had to. So, you know, I might go into Transfiguration and then I, you know, expecting to do some magic, but we just watch a VHS tape, an old one of how it's done. And then I have geography. So, you know, it's really a mix of magical and non-magical.
Baby blue, you reckon?
I think baby blue also, yeah.
Baby blue. Question number six. What is the main vegetable ingredient in the Greek dip tzatziki? Now, you know a little bit about Greek Grelga Schwartz because, of course, the Greek marathon
absolutely
translates to foot punching.
Absolutely. So one thing that I haven't mentioned is that many traditional practices of preparing food actually inspired punching.
Oh.
I mean, how do you soften up a steak, Kyron? Tell me.
You punch it.
You do. You absolutely punch it.
Yeah.
Imagine sitting at home and slapping a steak for hours. Now, traditionally, homemakers would have to have done that. But when we invented punching, that steak was ready to be eaten much more quickly. Not that much more quickly, mind you, but still slightly more quickly. Back to the tzatziki. One thing I can tell you is that a very easily punched vegetable is the cucumber. So I think that's it.
Would you say it's the most punchable vegetable?
Oh, no. The most punchable vegetable is the one that annoys me the most, the capsicum. Did you know that green capsicums are not different capsicums? They're just unripe red capsicums?
Yep.
Yep.
Sly! Sly! So you have my permission to punch those vegetables, but nothing else, Luca.
I intend to. Green, fine by me. Yellow and red, get ready for a fucking punch.
Yes. Does Puddle Ditch Public provide a lunch every day? Do you have a canteen down there?
We've got, we've got sort of a cafeteria. But this is a great question for me because a lot of our cafeteria lunches are sourced from falling off the back of a truck. And so we also have a class in dumpster diving, which is magical in and only... in that you're learning about the magic of expiry dates and, you know, which ones are real and which ones aren't real.
Yeah.
And in a class many months ago, we were able to source a lot of actual tubs of tzatziki for the cafeteria. And we had tzatziki week where we had tzatziki sandwiches, except the bread was tzatziki also. And crudités with tzatziki, except instead of crudités, it was more tzatziki. We all got very ill. I had guelts for many weeks.
I was going to ask, did you come down with a case of guelts?
Yes, I had terrible guelts all over my body, and especially on my tongue. And that's why I can agree with Graulga that tzatziki is made from cucumbers, and it will cucumber for you if you eat it after the best before date.
Cucumber it is. Question 7. Robin Williams, who is a comedian in the non-wizarding world.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Oh, he was the president of comedy in America for a while.
He was there for a bit. But Robin Williams has been nominated for how many Best Actor Academy Awards?
Ooh.
In his time. I mean, he did. When he stepped out of the role of the president of comedy, he stepped into, I think it was the vice president of drama for a bit.
Yes,
when he did One Hour Photo.
Oh.
Good Will Hunting.
Yes. I don't know a lot about your comedy, but I would say, based on Luca's rule that if you have an ATAR of 69, you have to become a comedian, perhaps it is in fact 69.
Best Actor, so it's just Best Actor, not Best Supporting?
For how many Best Actor Academy Awards?
I think
awards?
Maybe only one then.
Because, would you reckon?
I think Good Will Hunting would be supporting.
True.
Oh, maybe One Hour Photo. That wouldn't be supporting.
I've heard but about something called Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah, that's the one that I was thinking of.
Both of you are completely overlooking Flubber, which is disappointing. As an inventor, that film is one of my favourites.
I actually have seen a lot of human films because the Wizarding films are very poorly made. I remember, would he ever have been nominated for Patch Adams?
I would like to say something about Patch Adams. That film is very bad. And no, not enough people say
so
that.
So a simple no then.
So Flubber, Good Morning Vietnam.
I'm going to say two.
You reckon two?
1 hour photo and Good Morning Vietnam.
Question number 8. What colour, another question about movies. What colour is the Cat in the Hat's bow tie?
Red would fit. He has a red and white hat, right?
I think he has a red and white hat from memory. Did you read Dr. Seuss when you were a kid?
Big Zeus head. Massive Zeus guy. He's one of my guys. Paul Jennings, one of my other guys. Uh-huh. Tim Winton, big guy for me.
What about Morris Gleitzman?
The big three.
Yeah. Love Gleitzman.
The trinity of authors. Yeah. Okay, so John Marsden didn't get a look in.
No, yeah, what about Andy Griffiths?
Yeah, no, I think he's a poor man's poor.
Do
Jennings.
We think these
You are right to put Tim Winton, the daddy of Western Australia, in that section.
The guy loves the surf.
But what colour is the Cat in the Hat's bow tie?
I don't know, but I'd tell you when Lockie Leonard started jerking off.
So we actually call that intimate self-punching, Luca, in our circles.
Self-punching.
Right. Intimate self-punching.
Yeah, right.
And it's very healthy. So I'd like, if we could not shame Lockie Leonard.
No, of course not.
I don't think it was a shaming. I think it was a celebration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tim Winton should have written more about it.
I reckon it's red.
Question number 9. True or false? Finally, 50-50. Melbourne City won the 2019-2020 A-League title. Melbourne City won the 2019-2020 A-League title. Back to sport.
I think it's true.
You reckon it's true?
I think so, yeah.
What leads you to say that?
Because they knocked out my beloved Western United.
With punching? Oh, God.
Thank God.
Oh, God.
One of the things you're not allowed to do in soccer.
Yes, thank God. Soccer is a holy sport in my world.
Yeah.
And I think they went on to beat Brisbane Roar.
Don't have those inter-school tournaments.
No, we used to have sort of a magic cup with different schools, but it just actually encouraged a real gang mentality, so they had to shut it down. We don't even have houses at our school. We're just all in the puddle ditch together.
So it's literally it's named after a ditch.
Yes, of course.
Would you say that once a puddle is in a ditch, it becomes more of a bog situation?
I mean, certainly when the school first began, it was a bog, which is when it was called Bog Standard Public School. But over the years, because of magical climate change.
Is that similar to regular climate change?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just the climate that's changed. So the Guelts are going up and up, aren't they?
As things got hotter, the bog shrunk and now it's more of a puddle ditch, and that's the name of the school. But I fully expect in the next 10 to 15 years for it just to be called Scorched Earth Public School as the Guelts become hotter and hotter.
Yeah,
great. So very sad.
But it's nice that they just keep rebranding the school.
Yes, because you have to move with the times. Mm. And the magical community is all about that.
I actually agree with you, Luca. I remember after a long day of crying from all of the punching I've brought upon this world, I turned on the television and I turned it on to find that that not only had Melbourne won the netball, which of course is another sport where there's very little punching, and in fact they're so scared of even little tiny finger punches, you have to keep your nails completely trimmed. Mm. You ever played netball, Luca?
Yeah, you got to keep them trimmed or taped.
Taped, absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. But they had one, another sport as well, which I believe was the A-League.
We'll put true. Question 10. Final question. The disorder plantar fasciitis affects which part of the human body? You imagine there's a spell to fix something with the name plantar fasciitis?
Yeah, there is a spell. I mentioned this before we were recording, because sometimes when I meet regular people, I just tell them spells that I know, just as an icebreaker. Oh, really fun for them and fun for me. And
like before, when you arrived here, you were telling us about...
oh, yes, of course. I was telling you about Pustulus Romulus.
Yes.
Which is when you get a pimple in Rome.
Pustulus Romulus, which, you know, that's like when you're in Rome and you're like, it's a beautiful day, I just don't
when
have
in Rome,
a pimple.
Get a pimple. Yeah. That's how the saying goes. Yeah. But I was also telling you, of course, about plantar fasciitis, which the spell is quite different to the human condition. Mm-hmm. So the spell is you say plantar fasciitis. And
you plant the seeds of fascism.
Yes, you do. Yeah, of course. But you plant them in a person's foot. Because then, you know, it grows from the ground up, which is exactly how you want to implant a dangerous ideology like fascism.
Yeah, that's what Inception is about.
Correct.
They go into someone's foot and plant the dangerous idea there.
And they go through many levels of the foot as well. You know, they go, we're in the ankle, we've got to drop into the heel, now into the tarsals, now into the metatarsals.
Yeah.
And then once they're in the metatarsals, you think, shit, did I have an edible? Because I don't understand what is happening. And then you remember, no, but I did have that cauldron class. Yeah. And I don't know what was in there, but they, you know, sort of let us drink the potion sometimes. Mm. So foot,
you reckon? What about you, Grelga Schwartz?
Oh, well, as a puncher, we do have to learn all about the anatomy. Mm. And I am aware that there are conditions that affect the foot. So when we were foot punching, this was something that we had to be very, very aware of. I believe it is a foot condition that can prevent punching. But similarly, if it does inspire fascism, perhaps we should stop implanting it.
Essentially, did you invent fascism also? That's what we're saying here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. 1938, that tracks.
Yeah.
It really tracks.
Oh my God.
You might need to send out some more apology notes, I think.
I don't think you feel anywhere near the amount of guilt that you should, maybe.
Yeah, you're just sort of looking down, but you never cry.
A lot of focus on the marathons and stuff. Not a lot of genocide chat.
You can't see this at home, but I keep offering her my handkerchief, but she doesn't need it. Yeah. Bone dry eyes.
I think it's foot, and mostly why I think that is because Jack Viney, who plays for the Melbourne Demons, had it a couple of years ago, and he posted a thing that was like, plantar fasciitis all fixed up. Thanks for the DMs. I won't be sending any foot pics, but stay cheeky or something like that.
Stay cheeky.
So it's definitely
what a catchphrase.
The sauciest part of the body.
Did he send any neck pics, though?
Mm.
I would love to see that.
Big neck.
That's 10 questions. How do we feel like we did? Does that match up to the 69? Are you hoping for 69 out of 10?
I'd be happy with it. If I get a 69, I'd be very happy. I'm expecting a maybe 4 or 5.
What about you, Grelga Schwartz? Do you feel confident in our answers today?
Well, having just discovered that I invented fascism, I'm really coping.
I'll leave you in that moment if you
That's
like.
That's fine. Talk to somebody else, please.
And Thea Bali, what do you reckon out of 10?
Honestly, I've never, in all my public school years, I've never had to answer 10 questions before. We sort of do one exam at the end of the year, and it's just you write your name. So I feel really good.
Well, that I mean, that's a difficult task as it is with Thea Bali.
Yeah, because do I hyphenate? Yeah. Sometimes I leave a space between every letter, equidistant, just in case.
All right, well, let's see how you did. Question number one, in which Olympic Games did the women's marathon make its debut? You said 1952, but it was Los Angeles, 1984. 0 degrees Celsius is unfortunately not negative 40 in Fahrenheit, but 32 degrees. Which British singer, songwriter, and activist sang "The Revolution is Just a T-Shirt Away"? You said John Lennon, but it's Billy Bragg. Question number four, how many points is a try worth in rugby union? You said 6, but it's only 5.
Oh, come on.
Try harder.
I think it should be worth more.
That was
I think
very
they
fun.
Deserve
this
it.
This has not gone well.
Question number
so
five.
Many wrong answers.
Hoping for our first point. What is Pantone's 2020 colour of the year? It was multiple choice. You had a 1 in 4 chance. You said baby blue, but the answer was classic blue. Question number six. What is the main vegetable ingredient in the Greek dip tzatziki?
This, one. This is the only one
Thank
we were all
fuck,
like
you said
this.
Cucumber, and it's cucumber!
Yes!
Robin Williams has been nominated for quite a few Best Actor Academy Awards in the end. You thought it was 2 for Flubber and Good Morning Vietnam, but it was 3 for Good Morning Vietnam, Dead Poets Society, and The Fisher King. Question number eight was, what colour is the Cat in the Hat's bow tie? You said red, and it is red.
So well done.
Turns
well
out
done,
you know
Luca.
Your child's fiction. Question number nine was, true or false, Melbourne City won the 2019-2020 A-League Cup. You said true, they beat Brisbane Roar, but it was false. They lost to Sydney FC.
No, I don't know anything about anything.
Question number 10, you got to get this right not to have the lowest ever score. The disorder plantar fasciitis affects which part of the human body? It is indeed foot. 3 out of 10.
Yes. So that's
truly
equal lowest.
Awful. No, 2, I believe, is the lowest. Okay. I think that we've ever had. 3 out of 10. So congratulations.
Oh, good. I mean, it was a pleasure.
Yep. Less than half of the 69.
Much less than half.
Yeah. Oh, we don't need to. This is turning into a real chapter of Lachie Leonard over here. We don't need to know what half a 69 looks like.
It's just the fetal position.
Yeah. It's just the fetal position.
Thank you very much, Thea Bali, for joining us today, taking some precious time out from Puddle Ditch Public.
That's okay. We have a lot of holidays.
Do you ever get down? Because your story does sound very similar to a popular book, movie, play.
Fan fiction franchise.
In the human world, in the Oz Wizarding world, known as Harry Potter. Have you heard of that before?
I can't say I have, no. I've heard a lot about Charmed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's made me quite, you know, a bit sad, a bit aspirational, but I don't have any sisters that I know of. So I guess for me, I'd just be sort of by myself with my dad's.
Yeah.
Hoping for adventure.
Well, if you get a time, you should maybe check it out. I know that it's coming back. The play is coming back in Melbourne towards the end of... I mean, you wouldn't know the dates because you know nothing about it.
My birthday, though, in an unrelated note, is February 25th. Right. So if it came back on
February
that 25th, day, maybe I could see it then.
Yeah, pop down, see some of the cast. I know that Gillian Cosgrove is in it. She's spectacular.
Fine.
And Grelga Schwartz, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so sorry once again. How many people listen to this? Is it the world?
Yeah, it's the world.
Okay,
yeah.
I want the world to know that I am so sorry that I invented fascism.
Yeah, most people in the left as well, I'd say, like sort of Democrats.
Okay,
and
okay.
Labour
Open
Party
palms.
Wow, you've really made some assumptions about your listenership there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they're listening to an improv podcast that goes for upwards of 45 minutes. I mean, yes, they're firmly
You're
in the left.
Telling me that the right wing does not enjoy improv.
They have no sense of joy. Do you have any fellow inventors that you know of who maybe invented like the kick or the bump?
The bump.
Or the scrappy tackle? Do you have a...
You've never been in a fight before.
Have you? You went to a private school. It's
your,
all you've spoken
your tiny
about.
Little
Don't talk
neck.
To me like that or I'll scrappy tackle the shit out of you.
Because I know Brianna Williams invented the head bump.
Is the head bump?
Yeah. Do you know?
I thought that was a lice treatment.
Is that what you call it when you punch someone with your own head?
Oh,
head
a butt. Glasgow headbutt. Kiss.
Headbutt.
The head bump. Head wow, you really haven't been in a fight before.
Have you two met?
Yes. No, we actually have. She's free of her head lice, FYI, everybody. She's one of seven children. It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
So, yes, and in between head bumping...
Headbutting, it's called, yeah.
Sorry. We're trying to rebrand, all of us. She's doing some improv.
Oh, great.
Presumably not attended by the right wing, now that you've...
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is fantastic news.
Yeah.
in the big hoo-ha is what it's called. But maybe, I don't
and
know.
And they're coming back in 2020, aren't they?
Yes, on Friday, the 8th of January.
Oh, well, it would have begun.
It would have begun. When
How was it? You ask Brianna and get back to us.
I will. I will. Sorry. I feel like I just got punched in the brain with that what happened then. I'm going to be quiet because I invented fascism, apparently. So I have nothing more to say.
Thank you, Luca. Congratulations on 3 out of 10.
Thank you. It was my honour.
You have a couple of podcasts which are available in the app that you're in right now. What are you listening to this in? Going Hypo with Alex Ward?
Yes, indeed.
And, ooh, spooky.
That's our preferred method of saying it. Thank you.
Similar to the big hoo-ha, Catfish is back.
Yes, indeed. It started when you're listening to this last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every Tuesday in Fitzroy, good comedy.
Great. That's Wax Quizzical. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.